Beginning of Parshas Truma tells us, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and let them take from me a portion from every man whose heart motivates him. You shall take my portion. And this is the portion you shall take, gold, silver, copper, and a whole list of items, shoham stones, etc. And then Pasuk tells us, they shall make me a sanctuary for me, so that I may dwell among them. We have spoke about, over the years, so many different parts of these group of psukim. What does it mean to make a sanctuary for Hashem? What does it mean, v'yikuli truma, you shall take, and that v'yitnu, and you shall give, li, lishmi, what the tachash, we've spoken about so many different aspects of these psukim. So, I had mamash hashkocha pratit this year. We had a leak a few weeks ago in our study, and the Sfarim now are all over piles until it dries out and aired out, v'chule. So instead of going to my regular go-to Sfarim, I pulled out Sfarim that were nearby from the different piles. And the first three Sfarim that I pulled out asked the same question. And I only found one other Sefer that asked this particular question. So it was such clear hashkacha, I felt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me this year to ask this question. And it's a question I never thought of. And like most questions, I've never thought of. And when you hear the question, you say, ah, for sure. What is this question? Eish Tamid, Source 3. Yishli Shtmoa al Seder HaTzivui. You almost wonder about the order of the command. Shekodim Mitzavel HaTruma, Umefareid Kol Minei HaTruma. First, it tells you exactly what is needed, gold, silver, etc. V'rek L'char Mikem Mitzavel L'Siyas HaMikdash. And then it says what it's needed for. U'lechora Seder HaDrim Hei L'Hefach. I would have thought it would be the exact opposite. First, Vasuli Mikdash. Make for me a mikdash, and afterwards I'll tell you what do I need for the mikdash. I need the gold, the silver, the turquoise, etc. Madua Torah Matchilaim Sivui Lekichara Truma Lelo Biur Matarat Truma. Why does the Chumash first tell us just take for me a truma? I want a donation with no reason what I want this donation for. Just give me a donation. And then only afterwards, after we have the donation in place, now that you have it, now I want to tell you I want you to do with it. It's much more logical, the opposite. So just to give a practical example, I decided, mamish, in the last few days to take the Mishpach articles that I wrote on life cycles, because I continuously get people. I have a picture on a bed of a grandchild. What's a pidyon haben? What's a bris? What's a shalom zachar? What should I think about during the wedding? And instead of just, you know, emailing people these articles, to have it in a sefer, in a book, organized, I feel it would be a benefit to the tzibur, to the community, that the things that we do, we should have meaning on it. So I decided in the last few days, I looked into self-publishing it. And it's a few thousand dollars. And so, if I were to say now, I need a few thousand dollars, anyone would like to help me, your immediate response would be, what do you want it for? What is it for? If I say, I want to write the Sefer and what the Sefer is about, then you may say, that's a worthy cause. I want to help out. And indeed, if anyone would like to help out and dedicate part of the book, so you'll feel free to contact us. We're looking for sponsors. This is, right, you first say what you're looking for, and then you ask for sponsors. You don't first say, I want money. Well, what are you going to do with it? It's none of your business. I just want it. No, tell me what you want it for. So this, in our case here, leaving my book aside, first, Ribbono Shel Olam says, give me. And then, by the way, I want it for the Mishkan. Why in this particular order? So I would like to take a look at two ideas. Just two very simple shir today, Meretz Hashem. Two ideas, and clearly how they relate to our lives. Let's preface the first idea, give a background of the first idea, based on a piece from Rav Sadaka Kohen. So, source number 4. The Torah describes in detail the contributions of the Jewish people to the construction of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan had monumental significance beyond being ambitious, it was most noble of any project ever attempted by man to create a physical structure to serve as a dwelling place of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is the aspect of Hashem's presence that's openly revealed within the realm of physical creation. The Zohar points out, more than anything else, Hashem cherished the contributions of Mishkan because they emanated from the wholeheartedness of the Jewish people. Rav Tzedek expands upon the deeper meaning of the Medrash and the Zohar that explains an amazing idea. The closest place to Hashem in this world lies within the hearts of the Jewish people. And we know this, that ultimately, Vasuli Mikdash v'shechanti b'tocham is b'toch kol echad v'echad, in the midst of each and every one of us. Just as the Mishkan was sanctified as the exclusive dwelling place for the Shekhinah, so the heart of every Jew has the capacity to become a dwelling place for the Shekhinah. And then he goes on to explain that we really find there are three different facets of Kedusha. We're talking about building for ourselves a Mishkan. There are really three different places, three different aspects where you find the idea of Kedusha in our world. And we know this, it's called Ashan, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, time, space, and man, or space, time, and man. The first place that the Torah employs the word Kedusha is in the framework of Shabbos, and he blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. That's the sanctity of time. The second aspect of Kedusha we find when Moshe Rabbeinu witnesses the revelation of the Shekhinah in the burning bush. The land that you're standing on is holy. That's sanctity of place, and clearly it's connected to Torah, which would be ultimately given in that place, and that creates the sanctity of the place. And sixth, the third type of Kedusha is the Jewish people themselves, who were sanctified upon receiving of the Torah. And this is before Mamet Har Sinai, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tocha. This is the sanctity of we are a Mamlachas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, and a holy nation. This is sanctity of man. The sanctity of space, time, and man, in which point is intrinsically connected to the other, forms a triangle of Kedusha. The Kedusha of Shabbos, the sanctity of time, the Mishkan, which is the sanctity of space, and the Jewish people, which are sanctity of men. Now, there's a cryptic expression of our sages, Reb Tzedek goes on to say, that Shabbos is fixed and established, which conveys the concept of the sanctity of time. Shabbos is immutable. Now, why is this important to know? Because we contrast this with the other two Kedushas, which did change. One, the Kedusha of space and the Kedusha of man. Prior to the sin of golden calf, the sanctity of space included the entire area where the Jewish people encamped, which means that wherever a Jewish person is, I'll bless you, that's a place of Kedusha. Now, that intensity of Kedusha has been relegated to the Mishkan, to the Makom HaMikdash, to a specific place. Before the Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf, all of Klal Yisrael were told to be the Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, the kingdom of priests. After the Chet HaEgel, now we only have a certain group of people who are referred to as the Kohanim, and that is Aaron HaKohen and his descendants. So Shabbos never changed. The concept of having a specific place to build, to house Kivyachol in space, the Ribono Shel Olam, that shifted after Chet HaEgel from being everywhere to one place. And the fact that they have individuals who are going to be serving the Beit HaMikdash, that also shifted. The lesson for us is very important. Despite the sin of the golden calf, the unconditional, source 7, sanctity of Shabbos returns every week without exception. Within the perceived sanctity of Shabbos, every Jewish soul has the opportunity to regain its own intrinsic Kedusha. And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that every one of us, on each and every Shabbos, has that ability to become that repository of Kedusha, of holiness, to tap into the holiness of Shabbos, which is Kviya V'Kayama, which is established for all time, from the beginning of time. Our homes can welcome in Hashem's presence on Shabbos, so we have to be able, each and every one of us, albeit aware of the Beis HaMikdash now, and the Kohanim are a certain group of people, but we all have the ability to access that Kedusha of Shabbos and allow the Kedusha of Shabbos to transform our place and our being. I'll just add parenthetically, it would seem to me that this Reb Tzadok explains why the mitzvah of Shabbos is always linked with before and after the Cheta Eket. Why is Shabbos rearing its head? So there's a lot of, right, we know there's a lot of halachos and Torah on this, that the Bnei HaMishkan, Shabbos is more important, it doesn't break the building of the Mishkan, v'chule. But based on this, we understand that we are putting the two of them together. That while, because of the sin of the golden calf, the aspect of Kedusha did shift, there are certain areas where the aspect of Kedusha did not shift, and that is Shabbos, and to be able to almost put the two side by side, to be able to see the contrast between the two. Now, if we understand that the original plan was not to have the Beis HaMikdash, that everywhere was supposed to have Kedusha, so now we understand that, and this is at least according to some approaches say it was L'chatrila to have the Mishkan, right? Different approaches, I grant you that, taking one line of the Rishonim. So we understand now that the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan in the Midbar, is coming as a b'di'evet, as a secondary recourse. With that in mind, let's now try to appreciate what this building of the Mishkan is about, and now we're entering into level number one of the two levels. We'll begin with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says, on the surface it would appear in Source 8 that the holiness of the sanctuary has to emanate from Hashem, and that humans can only build a physical structure which Hashem then makes into a sanctuary by causing His presence to dwell in it. Nonetheless, this verse seems to imply it was the task of the Jews to actually make a sanctuary, not just a building to house it. If so, the Torah teaches us here that it's within the power of humans to cause Hashem's presence to dwell among them. How can we accomplish this? How can you possibly build a house for God? I believe that the following verses, which list the materials we use in Mishkan, map out the process. Really, the Torah should have first stated the mitzvah of building sanctuary, and only then specify the materials required for its construction, our original question. Had it done so, however, it would have been impossible to make a sanctuary, for that can be done only if the donors are aware that everything they are giving really belongs to Hashem, and is entrusted to them only for safekeeping and to be used in accordance with the wishes of its owner. Therefore, when he asked them to return it, they had no right to know what use he intended to make of it. It had to be completely legavoa, had to be completely to Hashem. Just as a bank has no right to ask its depositors what they intend to do with their money after they withdraw it, right? You go to the bank, you take out $10,000, and what are you doing with the money? That's none of your business, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want the money because I want it to be mine, not for you to have any hold on this money. And this holds true for all issues which are imbued with holiness. Only when one gives with this understanding will the project merit success as a sanctuary. For without this attitude, it's difficult to gain merit for the construction of building something holy. Let's try to understand Rav Moshe a little bit deeper. In Ben Melech, HaLatara of Mintzberg, let's take his ideas and look at his essay a little bit more in depth. And he says the following. He says, understand that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is not like any other type of mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has ever done. Because Shekol Havodot Inayin V'Mitzvot Shenitzavinu Aleihem, generally, whatever mitzvah we do, whatever avod do we do, Hinam Maaseim Shel Yisrael L'Chvod Hashem, it's what we are doing this, and we're doing it for the honor of God. Ulam Beis, Binyan Beis HaMikdash Eino Maaseh Shel Yisrael. But know that the building of sanctuary is not about us at all. Hashem Himself, for His great love for us, He wishes to build a building. Ah, so you're right. One aspect of this could be, like we saw that, according to some, the third base of this will be this way. Boom, it comes down from heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see, says, no, this is not the way I want it to be done. I want it to be done that you're going to build it, but it's going to be built bishlichutos, with Hashem's shlichus, right? Shalich shalotam kibosa. You're going to be my emissary. An emissary takes on a quality of the sender. So don't think for a moment that you're the ones building it. I'm building it. You are just like my extension of my hand, kivyachol, building it for me. But it's not you are building it. I am building it. Right? That's the difference. Because there's no way an individual can build a house for God. So you're not building it. I am building it. I am utilizing you as the conduit to build it. But it's not you who are building it. It's God who's building it. Sheshluchim heim shalem hudla mesima ubemsutam heyotam shluchei derachmana. They are the emissaries from Hashem. Hashem hu abonet tabayit lichvado, but Hashem is the one building the house. Shekein kol ikar mitzvah samigdash hi, shekash baruch hu nitavet liyot dira b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Hashem wants to have a place living among us. Kach shekol b'inyan atzmo, eino k'maitzem utel aleinu. It's not for us to build it, because it's not about us. It's about the Ribono Shel Olam. We're just doing what he wants us to do. Therefore, tzarich shetehei mitzvot habinyan mechubleket l'shtayim. Berosh HaRishona, therefore it has to have two parts, source text. First and foremost, Mitzuvim Yisrael, Larim Truma, Lafrish Mamon Hashem. First you have to give money and objects for God. So now they're no longer yours, like we saw Ramosha, they're Lekavoa. Now they give Yechu belong to Ribono Shel Olam, right? Just like you would give Stucca, this money is for, it's not your money anymore, it belongs to Stucca. These donations are no longer mine, they're Hekdesh, they're holy, they belong to Ribono Shel Olam. I am not building things with my money is mine. No, I'm building it because Ribono Shel Olam, these are Ribono Shel Olam's, these are God's, and I'm giving it over to Hashem. So, first thing is, I give over that which I have to Hashem. V'achar shenitkabel ha-mamon, v'afach l'mamono shel Hashem, o'an shayach l'tzavor d'Yisrael, v'asul l'mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham. Then you can tell it to Bnei Yisrael that you can build, as a shaliach of me, the Beit HaMikdash, b'shluchot shel Hashem. Because if I would say, take these items, right, build the Beit HaMikdash, build a Mishkan. Now, these are the items that are needed. It's that mindset that these are my things that I am using to build a house for Hashem. We're not building the house for Hashem. Hashem is building a house with his things. And we are just doing the construction. But it's not ours because we're not building it. Because we can't build a house for Hashem. Only Hashem can build that house. So first, you have to just give the things over to Hashem without understanding what they're for. Just give it. Once Hashem has these items, and now kivyachol they're Hashem's and not ours, we can now, as an emissary of Hashem, begin building his house. Yet there came ilu hayu kol Yisrael double squiggly nitzba'im al netinah b'tzirat chova lo hita netinah mitpareshet be'achleki truma al Hashem. And that's why it had to be Nadiva slave, the generosity of the heart. It's not that Hashem is commanding us to do that. If it was commanding us to do it, it would be a mitzvah. Then it's all about us. This is not about us. It's about us giving it to Hashem. We are v'shuv hayam ishkam yuchas l'maseyam. Like the korbanos. It's not about you have to give. It's about those who want to give a gift, kivyachol, to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is going to be. It's going to be built on. V'nira habeir b'zeh ki b'chdei l'kayem et kidro miyuchad shel HaMikdash k'bayit shebonei Hashem b'toch b'nei Yisrael hinei l'shem kach tzarich habayit libano b'toch tchum moshavam shel Yisrael. At the same time, that this is Hashem's Mishkan. This is what he's building with his things. There is one part that has to come from us, and that's the space. We have to create the space wherein Hashem can build this place. And that space is our chelek. And that's why for the adonim, as we spoke about last week, for the sockets, the silver sockets, they had to give a half a shekel. That created this foundation and the structure for the Mishkan. We create the place, and then Hashem builds his building. Lefichach, in 12. Be'od shabayit atzmo nivnei de Hashem en b'om suto mamono. Therefore, the house which Hashem himself is building through the money that's his, harei shemekom ha-mikdash, dehainu ha-karka, shalav nivnei ha-bayit, alav linatein dafka mitzad ha-am v'al-yato. The property, the bottom, has to be coming from us. And it was necessary for it to come from the people, that the people are saying we want Hashem to dwell among us. So that desire for Hashem to dwell among us, the desire that this should be the place, we spoke about this last week also, that Hashem should be here, that desire comes from us. But the actual building comes from the Baruch Shel Olam. And the same thing in source number 13, you find by the Beit HaMikdash, a similar parallel, where the place was bought by the money. David HaMelech bought Yerushalayim with the money that was taxed from the people. But the donations toward the Beit HaMikdash was Nedivah Slave, was the generosity of the heart. Just to pause for a moment in the Ben Melech, the philosophical message for this is clearly very important. And that is, we know in Source 14, a piece we've done many times in Sichos Musar, where in life, the Beit Kibul, the place, the receptacle to receive, we have to create. Right? Harachev Picha Vamalehu. But Hashem is going to fill it. Right? It's the imagery of Elisha asking this Eshen HaNeviim, Yisham HaNeviim, what do you have in your house to, I can bring down bracha to pay back your debt. She said, just have a little bit of oil. And he said, okay, gather as many pots as you can and take that little oil and start pouring. And as long as there were pots, the oil continued to pour. When there were no more pots, the oil stopped pouring. And that's the imagery for us. As long as we have pots, as long as we create the receptacle to receive, the Shechina can come down. We have to be that receptacle of wanting to have that relationship. We have to say, so in the terms of the Mishkan, we have to create the sockets, the bottom. We have to create the karka, the ground, to say, Hashem, we want you here. That desire has to come from us. Once that desire has come from us, Hashem says, I'll fill it. I'll build the Mishkan. I'll create that structure. And in our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to just give us. Right? But we have to ask for it, and we have to ask for it in a meaningful way. We say by not just to say it, but to really say, I want to be that receptacle to receive Torah, to have a relationship through Baruch Shalom. Hashem says, sure, I'll fill it. But we need to create that that desire of the Beit Kibul. Now, going back to the Ben Melech in 15, this we can appreciate as well. He notes that the Chumash tells us at length, a number of times, who were the artisans that built this Mishkan. It was Bezalel and Aliyav. And it describes that Hashem filled them with Chochma Das, with all these wonderful things, in order to build the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Why is the Chumash telling us this? Do we really care where the artisans are? Do we really care about who these people are? Let the people pick them themselves. And the answer is, because it's not our building. Hashem's building it. Hashem is infusing in them the ability to build. And that's why in the asterisks in 16, Katab al Safna Panecha la Torah, Shachar Gmar Hamalacha Nistalka Miyama Chochmat Hazot. Once the building was over, they lost that Chochma in order to do this. It's not them. They're not building this. It wasn't the brilliance of Atzala and Aliyah and all the Chachma Lev. No. The Ribbono Shel Olam is giving at this particular time their ability to build it because it's his home. And he wants it done in a certain way and has chosen the right people to do this. But it's not about them. They are just, again, that extension of Kivyachol. He says, Vein Shimshu Kivyachol, double the line in 16, Kiyada Arichta Shekut Shebrichu, as a Kivyachol, the extensive hand of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is why in 17 we have such details over and over again, how it has to be built this way, what the measurements are, and the height is, and where it's placed, and all of these details. Why does the Chumash go through this over and over again? Because it's not about our house. We're building. We're not building. We're just constructing. We're not really building. Ribbono Shel Olam is building his home. And what we're seeing here is the home of the Ribbono Shel Olam and how it has to be so precise. And as he says, that really in the squiggly in 17, that there's two Beis Batei Mikdash, one down here and one above, and they parallel each other. Shemikdash Shomala Mechuvan Kenega Beit Mikdash Shomata V'Aron Mechuvan Kenega Kiseh Kavod Shomala. The Aron, where the Aron was, the Kodesh Kedoshim, it's parallel to the Kivyochel, the Kiseh Kavod. So this is where the Pshat is, my friends. The Pshat is that we're not just, Ribbono Shel Olam isn't just having a house for God. You can't build a house for God. Kodesh Baruch Hu can build this house. And Hashem is building this house, and we are just the temporary emissaries for this building. And once it's built, those people have lost that insight and that ability. And that's what we have to understand. And indeed, in 18, Klomar Sheish Bibai Kivyachul Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Shmei Mala V'Afamita Shlamata Nishtavim L'Osoto Dugmato Beito Shomala. The whole idea of the Beis Hashem is it's a house of God, which parallels some level of house of God in Shemayim. And with this in 19, we can appreciate how when Moshe Rabbeinu tried to put this Mishkan together, it was like impossible for him even to lift it up. How is he going to do this all by himself? So the Pasuk says, "Hu kam ha Mishkan," the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, "Hu kam me'elav." It assembled itself by itself, so to speak. Because it's not about us even assembling it. Because it's not ours. It's Ribbono Shel Olam. And He'll assemble it. And everything will be His. So, my friends, let's just summarize this. And then let's take out of it one or two ideas that we can apply to our lives. And that is, on level number one, our original question, why don't we just first have the goal, build the Mishkan, and then Vasuli Mikdash, and then here are the things we need. And the answer is, because the building of the Mishkan is not something we could do. It's something that belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam. First and foremost, we just have to give a truma to Hashem. Give a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Hashem, and the Diva Slave, I'm giving you these things. If we would know what we were giving, it would seem as if we are the ones contributing to the Mishkan. And then it's our items that are found in the Mishkan. It's not our items found in the Mishkan. We don't even know what these items are going to be used for. We are giving these things, l'gavoah, v'kuli li lishmi, you give it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're yours. There's truma, it's hekdesh, it's holy. Now the kivyachol, they belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who can use them to what? To ask us to be his emissaries to build this exact structure with all of its details so that the Shekhinah can rest. One or two ideas that we can gain from this. The first, Yakut Yosef Lekach Rabbeifus notes, quoting Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal, where he says, we have to understand how to read this parsha. And we have to understand Haderech Lomorin Yoneh Mishkan VeKelavhi, the bold and 20, Lidmot Otam L'Shar HaMitzvos Asir Sodoteim Einam Yiduim Lanu. We understand that every single part of this Mishkan had to be done with the exact precision. If it was a quarter of an inch off, it was no good. If it was rounded, it was supposed to be angled, it was no good. Everything had to be precise the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it. And that has to be understood, that this is not only true of the Mishkan. The Mishkan becomes a paradigm of all the mitzvahs that we do. Just like we don't understand, well, why is it a half and not a whole? Why is, you know, the Aron half measures and the Shulchan is both half and whole? Why do we don't understand what's going on here. They're all sotos, they're all secrets that have much deeper meanings and implications. We have to have that humility to understand that we don't understand. And what we have to do is to follow things exactly the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And what the Mishkan sets for us as a paradigm is that just like Hashem had very specific ways, the way this is supposed to be done, because he understood that on these deep levels that's beyond us, or me at least, to understand. I just got the greatest compliment. I was teaching a piece to my students, and I said, this is a based on the Zohar. And they said, Mrs. Files, you have to be at least 40 to learn the Zohar. And I'm looking at them like, okay, I'm glad you think I'm so young. But these are obviously levels that are so deep to understand. Nevertheless, we have to understand that there is meaning behind it, and there is depth behind it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol ligbo b'diyuk ha'idei elu ma'asim efshar lisko l'ashrat ha'shina. And the same thing holds true with every mitzvah we do. You take a lulav and an esrog and hadassim and aravos, and it has to be this amount of hadassim and this amount of aravos, and it has to be this type, and it has to look like this, and you have to shake it a certain way, and you have hashras hashchina. Huh? You wave this, these plants, and you bring down the shchina into your home? Yeah. That's exactly the sach. And every mitzvah has this ability where we have to understand that doesn't matter if I do it this way or that way. Like, come on, does it really make a difference? Yes. The Mishkan is telling us that when we're coming to build, Kadosh Baruch Hu is using as a model his building, the Mikdash and the Mishkan, and how precise it has to be. That is a paradigm for us, that when we build our own mini Mikdash, i.e., by doing the Torah and mitzvot, it also has to be done with this precision, where each and everything has to be exactly the way the Ribbono Shalom wants it. Gam b'li yediyah v'havana ketzad misigim ayidei kach pula v'kedusha. Even with us, without us understanding how this exactly happened. V'zehu eifo, the end of 20, yisod gadol b'asir ha-mitzvot. So sotam afilu b'li dad ketzad hem poela. This is a yisod, a fundamental idea. We have to do, even if we don't understand how. Hadavar yachid shalinu l'adap enidon zeh, shim naseh uto derosh shmira o kol pirtei alecha, Nagiel Darga Ruchnim. We do have to understand that we have the ability to bring Kedusha into this world, to bring Kedusha into our lives, and to be careful with Halacha, to be careful to follow the Halacha the way it says, and not to just shrug our shoulders and say, come on, does it really matter if it's this long, or it's this big, or that big? It's done this way, or done that way? And the answer is yes. It does make a difference. The second idea that I think we can draw from here, which is equally fundamental. If the first idea is how careful we have to be with the details, the second idea we learn from here is something from Steinman's Tzatzal, where he says, "Ve'yish lomar shebao kan l'lamdeinu yisod gadol v'chashuv." 21. Kol ha-mitzvot sh'adam mekayim, second paragraph, v'chein kol ma shu'o seh. All the mitzvot we do, everything we do, naseh b'kolcho shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's enabling us to do it. He's enabling us to be able to do this. I can't move my hand right now without the Ribbono Shel Olam telling me move my hand. I can't speak right now without the Ribbono Shel Olam giving me the ability to talk. So even when I do a mitzvah and I think I'm the one doing the mitzvah, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enabling me to do this. And yet, the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Shemitzad Echa Noten Lo Et HaKoach Lasod HaMaitse Mitzvot. He's enabling me to do this mitzvah. Ve'im Zo, Machshiv Et HaMaitse Me'elu Kilu Nasu Ha'idei Adam L'man HaBoret. And yet he gives me credit that I'm doing it for him, even though he's enabling me to do this. So really, what am I really doing? The answer is not much, because I'm not doing really anything, because Hashem's doing everything, because I can't do anything without him doing everything. So if we understood all of that, so then what exactly am I doing? And the answer is 22. Chalon HaTeva. Pasuk tells us, very famous Medrash, more at the end of Tanis, Senor ena benot siyom b'mel shlomo b'atarashi tralo imo b'yom chatunato b'yom simchat libo. And b'yom chatunato, the day of his wedding, is referred to as Matan Torah. B'yom simchat libo, the day the king rejoices in his heart, is the day the Beit HaMikdash was built. And he says, umeduyak nifla sharelo katuv yom simchato. It doesn't say the day of his rejoicing, ela katuv yom simchat libo, the day of the rejoicing of his heart, kivyachol. Kevan shamikdash hu betoch halev, v'shachanti betocham. To build a place for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to live a life of Torah and mitzvot, really where it begins, and really where we are involved at all, is in our heart. Betoch libam. And that's what we have to understand. V'zom shecha pasuk meikol ish in 23 asher yidvenu libo titku atrumati. Anyone who is going to want to give the gift of their heart, haynu truma shabai malev, maisi mim lev. So whatever I'm doing, the Ribbono Shel Olam is enabling me to do this. So what is my part? B'yom Simchat Libo. Yom Simchat Libo is the day of the rejoicing of the heart. My heart is what I can give. The desire, the passion, that's what I can give. The Ritzon Tov, Chayvim La'Gia Shamaisim Shalanu Yu Im Libi Er. We have to work on it that our hearts are full of passion, im ishtokikos, im gaguim, with desire, with passion, with the relationship with Baruch Shalom, with Tara Saleh, Shizem Asher Nidrash Milev Yehudi. That's what Hashem wants from us. And it's a gevaldik word, he says. We normally say, Rachmana Liba Bai, that Hashem, Rachmana Liba Bai, wants our heart. But you know, it's also true. Hainu Shaliba Rachmana Bai, Shalei, Sarechet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our hearts need God. We can't live without Ribono Shel Olam. We can't live without this relationship. And that's the gevaldik word of the Or Chaim HaKadosh, who says in the squiggly, V'ikhu lahem ish sel beit avot sel bayit. Every man should take a sheep for their house. V'ikhu lahem ish. Perush al derech omram ish ein ish al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Hashem ish mechama, take with you the ish kivyachol. Take with you the relationship with Ribono Shel Olam when you're going to do a mitzvah. And how do you know who is a Yidveno Libo? How do you know who someone who has this? So he says, based on the Baal HaCharedim and the arrow in 23, Shirodef HaCharei HaTorah V'Kiyum HaMitzvos B'chol Levav Taiva Gedola. Someone who runs after, like a roaring lion. Someone who runs after the Ribono Shel Olam. Someone whose passions and desires are to do the will of Hashem. We have spoken about here many times, and I believe it needs to be repeated many times, so I'm going to repeat it again. We have spoken about that story that Rav Shor brings down by Rav Moshe Feinstein's father and his friend, who had a kiyas yad. Whoever was going to go to heaven first would come down and tell the other one what it was like. And Rav Moshe Feinstein's, that's his father's friend, was nifter first, and he comes from Moshe's Feinstein's father in a dream, and he says to him, let me tell you that there is an exact din, there's an exact judgment for every single thing we do. Going back to that details are important. We can't just say, sort of lashon hara, sort of not. Details are important. And when they asked me about mitzvot aseh, I did beautifully, mitzvot lo taseh, I passed with flying colors. But then they asked one question, and that question was the challenging question. And this is the question that is asked to us all the time. And that is, Rachmana Liba Bai, where was your heart in what you did? And the Chofetz Chaim himself says this. He says, we're never going to be asked, where did you come from? Where were you born? Right? You're not going to ask those questions. The questions that we're going to be asked is, where were you when you were doing the mitzvot? Where was your passion? Where was your enthusiasm? We're now, in the Parsha Truma is always connected to the month of Adar, right? Aleph Dar, the Alufo Shel Olam rests, Parsha Truma, Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting among us. And we know, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. So Marbim B'Simcha isn't like the way we understand it as kids, like Lahavda Elef Alfa Abdolos, April Fools, and you go around doing, shtick. I had probably the best shtick ever done to me. I taught in a seminary many moons ago, it's no longer around this particular seminary, very, very sweet group of girls, and they would always have for me a cup of water before I came in, which was very nice of them, and I taught Rosh Chodesh Adar, and I had a note on my desk saying, Rebbetzin Smiles, just beware, there is fish in the water. I don't look. I'm not so connected to this world as it. I just take the water, say shackle. So it was nice of the administration to forewarn and forearm that. Okay, so those are the shticks that, that's not what mishnech l'sadar marbi m'simcha. It's nice, it's cute, it's funny. Maybe that wasn't so funny, a little bit fishy. But, okay, what is mishnech l'sadar marbi m'simcha? So it's a lot of Torah, but based on what we're saying, is if you want to have an Adar of Aleph Dar, if you want to have the Ribono Shel Olam who's going to be dwelling among you, so you have to have the Simcha of the heart. You have to have Rachmana Liba Bai. You have to want it. You have to have passion. That is in our hands. Do we do mitzvah? Oh, I have to because I want to do it. The bread, the Eish Tummy, Tukat al Mizbeach, the consistent fire on the Mizbeach, other is the time to infuse our actions with this passion, with this desire, with this closeness to the rebuttal solo, that I am, wow, I have the ability, Salah Verena, language of Sir Shalom, Lusecher Machusel, to say a bracha gevout. I can hardly hold myself, I can hardly contain myself. Oh my gosh, I'm saying Shahakul gevout. That simcha, that passion, that is what we need to have. And that's indeed, when we don't have a base of Mikdash today, this is what we have to build in our lives. We have to build, as Sivas Shalom says, the Beit HaMikdash had three compartments. You had the outer, the inner, and the inner. So you have within a person, you have the Moach 24, which is Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim, the mind, which is like the Holy of Holies. Then you have the heart, which is like the Hecha, which is the our Hashkafas, our mindset of serving Hashem. And then finally, you have the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach is to take our Evarim, to take our limbs, take our Taivos, take our desires, and be able to put them on the altar of Hashem, be able to utilize our passions and desires for Hashem. And with that, in 25, we can have Achat Shalti, Meit Hashem, Osav, Akesh. I have one request. This is what I request. Shifti, Beit Hashem, Koy Mechayai, to live in the house of Hashem. How do you live in the house of Hashem? It's dedicating yourself to the mindset of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, that's level number one. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. We are just his emissaries to build it. We have to build the desire that is in our hands. Our passion, our desires, are using what we want to be able to overcome our negative taivos and utilize that same passion and enthusiasm for Avodas Hashem. Good. Second level. We'll begin the second level with, we'll build, where each idea is really feeding into the next. It's really one idea, but different parts to it. So let's begin. The Ish Tamid, he points out, and we had a shir on this many years ago, that when you had, by Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, Ma'artzecha, Meladecha, Me'ravicha, La'artz Asheracha, go where to the land I command you. So why didn't you just say, go to Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, to give him, Scharokol, Psiyah, Psiyah. He gets reward for every single step. Because if he was told to go to Eretz Yisrael, so then his walking is just a hechitimsi, is a medium, what we call a hechsher mitzvah. It's the preparation of doing the mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah in its own right, because you're going toward Eretz Yisrael. Here I'm telling you, go. So then every step is a mitzvah. Where you're going to land, that's a separate idea. And likewise here, he says, Lo eita truma ella emsa'i l'tzarech b'niyas ha-mishkan. The truma here was the nation was not a medium to build the base of Mikdash. V'lo yabba matara b'fnei avtzma. Rak eita emsa'i b'shvil b'niyas ha-mishkan. V'kivan sh'rutza k'rish baruch hu netina atzma v'tachlina mitzvah eita ishtat v'cho b'nei Yisrael. Be'etzam netina l'chvodol sh'l k'rish baruch hu. Be'etzam truma yishma tara b'fnei atzma. There's two things going on. Yes, there's an idea of building the Mishkan. That's number two. Number one is, I just want you to give. And just giving, not knowing for what you're giving, that's a mitzvah in its own right. It's not. If it would first say, I want you to build a base of Mikdash or a Mishkan, and then tell you what you need, so that every gold, every silver, every turquoise is a medium to be able to build the Mishkan. So it is a hechsher mitzvah. It's enabling you to do the mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah in its own right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have the mitzvah in its own right. Therefore, he says, just give. So now the question is, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't, of course, know the answer, but what perhaps we say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to be a mitzvah in its own right? It just makes more sense. Okay, so it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's a preparation for the bigger mitzvah. So, one way to understand this is in 28. We'll see two ways to understand this. One is, we are building the space of Mikdash. Even though it seems like impossible, how can you do this? The Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hinei Hashamayim, Ushmei Hashamayim, L'Kelucha, and you're telling me, Vasili Mikdash, like the earth, the world can't contain you, and you want me to build a building? So don't worry, it's not what you think, just build a plank here and a plank there. Moshe Rabbeinu Hayalu Tmiha Alef Sherutzu 28 in the double squiggly. Shebnei Adam Yivnu Makom Mukdash Ba'alma Hadein. How can we build something in this world that's going to be able to have the Shechina in it? It seems impossible. And the only way to do that is it has to be something massive in the giving that's going to be able to be worthy of this thing that we're doing to earn the ability to build the Mishkan. And he says, and the asterisks in 29, you have to do something massive. We know, continuing on in 29, that people don't like to part with their money. That is human nature. Human nature is, even though they got the money, they still had to work for it. And you had to ask you from your neighbors. No one likes to give away money. And it's hard. It's really hard to give away money. He says, however, in 30, he says, if you were to tell the people, I want you to give the money for a Mishkan for Hashem. Oh, now that's holy. That is a worthy project. I think I'm ready to give. So here, you're not giving. It's not a challenge. There's no nisayon here. Right? He says this from Berbel Zatzal. He says, you know, you ask people to give a certain amount of money to for a building. People like to give money for buildings because it's the way they feel that they're going to be eternalized. Have their name on the building or on a part of the building or, right, on a classroom. They feel like it's going to create for them nitzchius eternity. You ask them for money to run the building, well, it's a separate story. Because that just comes and goes. And they don't feel that there's nitzrius here. So if Hashem had first said, I have this vision, it's called the Mishkan, and now I need you to help me fulfill this, so there's no nisayon in giving the money, because sure, I'd love to give it. You know, I'd like to have the kiyor in my name, and I'd like to have this in my name. It's, you know, it's a gaiva. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no. I want you to give. And when the Gabayim came and said, we're looking for donations for Hashem, the people said, for what? We don't know. You don't know? Nope, we don't know. He just wants donations? Uh-huh. He wants gold, silver? Uh-huh. At that moment, we're tested. And when Klal Yisrael responded, right, they had to say enough. When Klal Yisrael responded with giving, because we want to give the deepest lay from our heart to whatever Hashem wants from us, that type of giving, with not knowing what it's giving for, that created the medium to which they were deserving of building the Mishkan. And that's the idea. It's a mitzvah theatzmo. It's an idea in its own right. It's not part of the Mishkan, because then there's no nisayon. It's a mitzvah in its own right. Are you ready to give without knowing what you're giving for? But let's take this a little bit deeper. And that's the second idea connected with this. This is Na'ot Desha. Na'ot Desha, both this Rav Birnbaum and this Na'ot Desha, again, with these random svarim, nothing's random. I would not have picked up, sometimes ever, doing a parsha shir, that they landed on the piles by my, where I was working. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu led us in the right direction. Says the Na'ot Desha, something gevaldik. He says, Achav Shar Lomar in 32, Shemachar v'mishkan ba'alecha peramaisa egel. Going according to what we're saying, that the Mishkan is coming to be mechaper, to gain atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Umachar v'cheda egel nava mechoser tmimus b'monotam shel b'nei Yisrael. Notzar tzarech l'takein b'yisodo et choser tmimus hazeh et habigam hazeh b'emuna. We call this tikkun or tshuvat ha-mishka, where it's exactly balanced. One of the fundamental problems of the Cheda Egel was a lack of tmimus. A lack of belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam with simple faith. Moshe Rabbeinu said, he'll come back. You got to believe that he'll come back. You got to believe the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. To go start building the Cheda Egel, building the calf, was a lack of that tmimus. Hashem says, I want you now to rectify the core of the sin. Not enough just to take your gold now and use it to serve Hashem. That's one area, but it's deeper than that. I want you to where you're at. I want to test you to see if you have this emuna pshuta, this tmimus, this quality of pure faith and at Ribono Sol Olam. I'm asking you to give. What are you giving for? You don't know. And the ability for Klal Yisrael to give without knowing what it's for, just the giving, because the command to build the Mishkan happened later, just the giving. When Klal Yisrael responded, that was their tshuva for the Chayta Ego. First of all, do Dvar Hashem. This is the Nasa V'Nishma that was missing. Nasa V'Nishma. We're going to give. We're going to do. And then we'll hear what it's for. But we're first Nasa. That's the Tikkun of Chayda Ekel. That's going back to Mamad Har Sinai. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want us to give? Sure, we'll hand. Here's our check. Here's our gold, silver, everything you need. Here it is. We're not asking what it's for. Nasa and then Nishma. Ukafishma Srim Bale Musarni Tinata Truma Loitahi Timsi 33 Msaila Biniata Mishkan Lo Ella Hayat Tahli Pifneatsma. It was worthy in its own right. And the Biniyas Hamishkan Tiarak Totsa Shal Natina. The building is just going to be an extension of the giving. And you see, as it says in 34, right away, as soon as they gave, the Amnei HaKavod came back. And we know, it's on the Grah, Shir Shirim, that when they sinned in Chayda Ego, they lost the Amnei HaKavod, they lost the clouds of glory. The moment that they were able to rectify that sin, even before the Mishkan was built, the Amnei HaKavod, the clouds of glory returned because they had rectified the core of the sin of Tmimus, of being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way, without asking questions. Just to give a few more examples, he says in 35 and 36, where Yoshua is chosen as the next leader for Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was Yoshua? He was the one who set up the benches, who set up the Beis Medrash. But he served Moshe Rabbeinu in this way without looking for Kavod, without looking to be the next leader. He was just serving him in the most complete way. That faithfulness of Yoshua to Moshe Rabbeinu made him worthy of being the next leader. That's the component of Tmimus. That's the component of being loyal, just following what needs to be followed. Another example, Kriyas Yamsuf. Tell Kleisel just to go into the river. Well, they could have saved a lot of problems. Ribono Shel Olam just had the river split. Hayat Hashem Tiksar, but Hashem wanted Shehem Yafkinu Rishonin Med Emunatam Et Tmimutam. Hashem wanted them to prove their Tmimus, their Emunah. Go into the water. I tell you to go in, but there's water. I tell you, march, and they march. Ba'u Mayim Anofesh. Right? The water came until they could barely breathe. They jumped into the sea. You told us to go ahead, we'll go ahead. That split the sea. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us to show in our own lives this tamimistic. Like, oftentimes we don't understand. It's difficult for us. We want to get it, and we don't get it. And Hashem says, you're not going to get it. Just move forward. And when we're able to move forward, when we're able to say, I don't understand, but I'm ready to move forward, Then Yeshua happens. Then salvation happens. There's a beautiful sefer which I highly, highly, highly recommend. I know I tend to recommend svarim, but there's a lot of svarim I don't recommend. 39, A Daily Dose of Bitachon, Rabbi Sudden. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer to do literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes every day, to do at your table, to do before you go to sleep, wherever. A Daily Dose of Bitachon, just to strengthen ourselves in this Emunah Tmima, in this perfect faith. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants from us. That's what Parshat Truma is about. Do we have this faith? Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. How do we plant this Mishkan in our hearts? It's with Emunah Tmima. That's why the Parsha begins this way. You want to build a place for Hashem? You want to have a relationship with Hashem? First and foremost, where's your Emunah Pshuta? Where is your simple faith? His last chapter, he says the following. He says, I heard a beautiful idea from Don Sega, which is the following. We say every morning in the Birkos HaShachar, Sha'asa Likol Tzarki, who did for me everything I need. Our usual interpretation of this blessing is that we are declaring that Hashem is taking care of all we need, everything from our functioning limbs, to the roof over our head, to the air we breathe, to the family we love. It's a beautiful way to remind ourselves to be grateful for what we have and happy with our lot. However, Rav Segal finds a deeper meaning. Whatever happens is what needs to happen for my greatest benefit. As a mashal, imagine a person heads to shul in the morning, trips over a crack in the sidewalk and falls. Following Rav Segal's advice, he would say, I didn't realize that I needed to trip and fall over a crack in the sidewalk. But obviously, since Hashem sent me this to me, it's what I needed to happen to me today. Shasa Likol Tzarki means that everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to happen. We simply were not aware that this is what is needed. Such a perspective is higher level than saying after the fact, oh, this is a kapara. It's a belief right from the outset that nothing happens that is not the result of Hashem doing good for us, whether or not we can see the benefit. That's the Emunah Pshuta. This is what's best for me. It applies to all the glitches and frustrations in life. I didn't realize my oven is supposed to break down on the day I want to begin cooking for Pesach. I didn't realize the shipment is supposed to be late. Now I know. This is what a life's work means. Shasali Kol Tzarki is not something we can learn with our mind alone. Every second of our lives, every day of our lives, we have to take these important lessons and internalize them, to rely on Hashem, to connect Him, and to trust that He's always giving us our best possible life. That's the building of the Mishkan. That is our focus in our lives. Once we have this Emunah Pshuta, once we work on that this is our mindset in life, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us in everything that happened, and I have that basic faith down, then Vasuli Mikdash v'shachanti mitocham. Then I can work on building the base of Mikdash. Then I can work on the inner structure. What is the inner structure? So we'll just end with Mesameach Sion, Rav Apfel in 40-42, where he says, our job, we don't have a base of Mikdash now, is our job is to do the double squiggly in 41, Reshit Avodat Adam b'chanak gufo v'nafsho liyo ra'ui l'ashrat k'chato yiparach. He bought for shat v'achanat truma lishmoi parach v'hu ayidei shirbebu pulot tovo l'fodoi parach. Whatever we can do, whatever actions we can do for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, small things that we do for the honor of God, like, you know, a little coin here, a little coin there, a little action here, a little action there. All the things that we do and we say, we're doing this to bring nachat ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam, that is how we build our Mishkan. And he says, you know, the idea of gold is yira. The idea of kesef is ahava. Kisufim, we spoke about again last week. We have to take our experiences in life, whatever they are. If it's experience of yira shamayim, so then I've given some gold to the Ribono Shel Olam kivyachol. I build that in my mishkan. If it's an experience of love of Hashem, I've given some silver. And we have to realize that every single thing we do, im kol pulak tonash yudi osef, every small thing we do, the end of 42, even our desire to bring good feeling to Hashem, that's the ability to bring us and the whole world to the service of Hashem. So on the second level, we don't know why we're bringing this. Why is that? On the first level, because it doesn't belong to us. It's Hashem's. He has to use His things to build the Mishkan. On the second level, it's because what Hashem wants from us is the not knowing. What Hashem wants from us is that nasa v'nishma. It's a tikkun for cheda egel. And what Hashem wants from us in our lives is first and foremost the Emunah Pshuta. And after we have the Emunah Pshuta, then we can fill it in with the small acts that we do. Every small act we do, we build another element of the Ashras HaShchina within ourselves, within the world. I'll end with a story, which is a short, sweet story, but it just reflects this idea. The woman getting on a bus, 39, in Eretz Yisrael. Now I have five kids, a double stroller, one kid holding on, and another two kids holding on to the other each side of the stroller, and one kid just walking. So we have five kids, Kananahara, getting on a bus. You're getting the picture here. She finally gets them on the bus and settled. Then she takes her pocketbook, opens it up to get the Rav-Kav, which is a card that you punch in to pay for everyone. She opens up her pocketbook, and she realizes there's no Rav-Kav. Oh, boy. So in Israel, you're able to go over to the driver and very often to say, very often, I don't have it, I'll pay next time, and indeed you pay next time. Sometimes you have to actually get off the bus. So she goes over feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, he must be thinking these Haredi women who can't get their lives together. She goes and apologizes and she says, I forgot my Ravkav, me, the five kids. He says, don't worry. He pulls out a card and he punches six times on it. He says, don't worry, it's been paid for. She says, what do you mean it's been paid for? He says, it's been taken care of. She says, who paid for it? He says, it doesn't matter. And the people in the bus, he says, go back to your kids, take care of your kids. The people in the front of the bus wanted to know what was going on here. This is a person with no kippah on his head. And he says, I'll tell you, I live in Ramat HaSharon. Okay, does she also live in Ramat HaSharon? Is she a cousin of yours? He says, I live in the community of Rav Yaakov Edelstein, Zechret Tzadik Karsel Bracha, may have heard of him, big tzadik. And he taught our community about the idea of chesed, the idea of love, the idea of giving to other people, the idea of that communal love. He says, I have a bus ticket, which I use in these type of situations to pay, my own money, to pay for when people forget like this, in this type of situation, and that's my way of showing brotherly love one to another. That's building the Beis Hamikdash. That's kesef. That's kisufim. These are the opportunities that we have to build this Mishkan for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And my friends, we'll end with this terrible, terrible tragedy that happened last week, where these three kedoshim were taken, these two brothers, this young chassid, his father, whose names were for Shlema, Avram Noach, Chaim ben Yehudis, among Shar Chol Yisrael. Am Yisrael has to respond to such a tragedy with avas chinam, with more love. And we have to show this continuous amount of love. The only way that we can really offset this hatred and this divisiveness is just to create opportunities of love. And that's our job. Our job is to find opportunities of these Ravkavs, of paying for other people, of helping other people, of building our Mishkan, which isn't just our Mishkan. It's really the Mishkan for Klal Yisrael. It's really the communal Mishkan. Vasuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham, that we all can dwell in it. This is the world that Hashem wants to envision. The original way before Chet HaEgel, where the whole world has this Kedusha. That's our mission. That's our focus. And that's our realization that this is something that is within all of our ability. We may not have been able to build the Mishkan itself, but we are able to build a world worthy of Hashem's presence to reside among us.